This is the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast, and we're your hosts, James and Maria Collins.
We are on a mission to help you answer the divine call in your life, to experience transformation for God's glory, and to advance His kingdom.
The world needs more people who are confident in their identity and are living intentionally to fulfill their life's mission.
Your legacy depends on you leading yourself well and taking action towards a clear vision for your life.
Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will."
We are here to help you renew your mind so you can stop chasing the things of this world and start living a purpose-driven life that is uniquely yours.
We want you to experience abundance in all areas of your life, but it's not just about you. It's about leaving a legacy that endures far beyond your time on earth.
God has entrusted you with unique gifts. You get one life to use those gifts to leave a lasting impact for generations to come.
Your legacy begins now.
Welcome back to the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast. We're your hosts, James and Maria Collins. And today we have a special guest, Justin Murphy. Hi, Justin.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Excited. So we've got our topic tonight is family nutrition and nutrition in general. It's important for all of us, but especially for our children. And so we're glad to have you with us tonight because you're an expert in that field.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to be on the podcast. Always excited to talk about nutrition and definitely passionate about talking about, you know, nutrition for kids, obviously with three kids, five and under. I have a role of, you know, not only with what I do, but also just with being a dad and a leader of my family that, you know, prioritizing nutrition and prioritize living a healthy lifestyle is definitely a big, big aspect of our life and what we do. And so, you know, our kids are definitely not perfect by any means. They eat Chick-fil-A and they eat ice cream and all this other stuff too, just like all the other kids. But, you know, if you ask my wife, you know, Alex would tell you that, you know, they do a pretty good job in comparison to a lot of their friends. So yeah, definitely very grateful for that, for sure.
That's good. No, we do a lot of life together. Our kids are good friends. And so, yeah, we've been able to witness from afar the intentionality that you guys have.
Yeah, literally right before this, our kids were going crazy in the backyard with the whole water park set up back there. And they have a blast together. So it's awesome.
So Justin, you are a Christ follower, a husband, a dad of three boys now, a nutritionist, and you're the owner of iCoach Nutrition and Lifestyle Coaching. Did I miss anything?
No, that about sums it up. That takes up 24/365 for me.
Yeah. And what, prior CrossFit athlete as well?
Yeah. CrossFit athlete for 5 years, competed at regional level, coached CrossFit, played college football, and then played pretty much every sport under the sun there growing up as a kid. So,
yeah. So you've been in athletics in some form or fashion for a while then?
My whole life, yeah. From kindergarten on, I've played sports consistently my whole entire life. So it was only natural for me to kind of come into the health and fitness field, and that's a whole other story. But yeah, it was definitely kind of a natural transition there after college football and kind of figuring out my way and figuring out what I wanted to do with my life. So it's been a blessing. Now it's 14 years since I started in the field, which is kind of crazy to think about.
But yeah, well, we're talking before we hit record here, and you're telling a little bit about your own journey. And nutrition hasn't always been on the forefront of your mind, right? What led you into nutrition specifically? I know what you do with coaching is more than just nutrition, but a lot of it is around educating your clients on nutrition.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most of it is nutrition. I started right after college football, I started doing personal training. And within a year, I realized that nutrition was the missing link for pretty much all of my clients, because when it comes to personal training, most clients that are doing personal training are wanting to lose weight, they're wanting to lose body fat, build muscle, right? And if you think about it, it's like that one hour a day that I get with them, whether they train, you know, twice a week or three times a week or however many days per week, it's only 1 hour, right? And so those other 23 hours of the day, that's really what makes the bigger impact in accomplishing their goals. And so I realized very quickly, I was like, wow, like I was going to school for just getting my basics, and I was trying to figure out, you know, should I go the route of everyone else, which is like getting a kinesiology degree or exercise science degree, or should I, you know, maybe take a different avenue here and go get my nutrition degree? And so, yeah, after a year of personal training, I was like, all right, nutrition's the missing link. And not to mention, I feel like I got so much of the exercise science, exercise physiology from the personal training certifications that I had done. And I felt like it was a way for me to really separate myself in the field as being a personal trainer and then being able to go get my nutrition degree as well. So yeah, that was like the next 6 years of my life. And so I was doing personal training the whole entire time while I was getting my degree in nutrition from Texas Women's University out here in Denton.
Well, that's great.
That's awesome. Justin, can you tell us a little bit of the core nutritional concepts that you emphasize with your clients? And how are those principles form the foundation of a healthy lifestyle?
Yeah. So I always like to give the example of, you know, it's 2024, right? And it's like the information's out there everywhere, right? It's like information overload. There's a million different people saying a million different things, and people are more confused than ever when it comes to nutrition. So I always like to give this example of like a mason jar, right? Kind of that mason jar example you'll hear. And what I mean by that is if I took the big rocks that actually matter the most when it comes to living a healthy lifestyle, those are really the principles that we tried to help clients to get more consistent with. So those five big rocks would be sleep, nutrition, exercise, hydration, and stress management. And then once we master that, then we start kind of diving into personal development. But everything else, you know, hey, what pre-workout should I take, or nutrient timing or supplements or whatever, those are like the pebbles in the sand of the water that will fill up the rest of that mason jar example.
Yeah. The nutritional principles that you teach, are they much different for children than they would be for adults?
When it comes to the nutrition side of things, I think there's definitely a lot of like the foundational principles that we can incorporate with our kids. I think the biggest difference is that, you know, with the tracking side of things, obviously we're not going to have kids track, especially at you know, our kids' ages. But even, you know, into middle school and high school, I really don't recommend tracking there either, because, you know, believe it or not, what you see with high school kids and college kids that start to track their food, you have to be really careful with that, because you can absolutely start to create an unhealthy relationship with food and with your body. You can create eating disorders. And that's, you know, for someone, you know, like myself or anybody else in the field that's trying to help people improve their nutrition or improve their health, that would be the last thing that we'd want to do.
Yeah.
So I'd say probably the biggest component there when it comes to working with kids, is, you know, not having them actually track this stuff. But a lot of the same principles in terms of, hey, like we want to get you, you know, eating more fruits and vegetables. We want to get you, you know, prioritizing eating an adequate amount of calories and building out balanced plates, getting a balanced amount of protein, fats, and carbohydrates, teaching them how to, you know, grocery shop and cook and meal prep. You know, teaching them how to fuel their body properly. Right. And really, I think that's like the verbiage behind nutrition is really where we want to go with that. Right. We don't want to start to categorize things as good or bad. Mm-hmm. Right. We don't want our kids to see mom or dad, you know, in the mirror, tearing themselves apart about how bad they look. Mm-hmm. Right. We don't want them to be like, oh, carbs are bad or this or that. Right. We want them to create a healthy relationship with food. We want them to learn how to nourish their body and fuel their body properly. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of the verbiage that we use as parents and the conversations that we're having around food, that makes a big impact, because our kids, like anything else, you know, in this series that y'all are talking about here, it's, you know, our kids listen to what we say, they watch what we do, and we are the ones that impact them, and set that example for them more than probably anyone else in their life, especially in these early stages.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. I think it's interesting that you brought up eating disorders, and that's really prevalent in today's society as well. And you see that, I think it's exacerbated by like social media and this this constant image that people are putting out of what's attractive, and you can't even trust what you see a lot of times because so much is filtered and doctored and all of that. And then you add on top of that, you know, kids who don't have good guidance around nutrition and body image and all of that can really be led astray.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, social media is, it's, I mean, obviously with what I do and owning an online coaching business, I mean, even this podcast, right? Like social media can be, it can be great, but it, yeah, it absolutely can be something that, you know, can be very detrimental, especially for young kids. And, I think I was watching one of y'all's previous podcasts here. Y'all were talking about, you know, when you introduce a phone to kids, when you introduce social media to kids and, yeah, it's, I mean, we're living in a world now where we're being a parent and raising children is, I would argue, maybe more challenging than ever before because of social media.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to be way more intentional, I feel like, these days, because we just didn't have access to a lot of this stuff when we were growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything's in their tip, and they can see whatever they can find whatever they want. So let's go into real life. You as a parent, what would you give for parents to help their kids to develop healthy eating habits in their house? Like for our house, we have a very picky eater, Zoe, and Noah. He would try more. He's
starting to become picky.
Yeah. I guess he's a boy and he's more hungry than what she is, but she's very picky. So a conversation I have with her all the time is about balance. It's not that you can't have these things. It's let's first eat the healthier food that's going to nurture your body. It's going to, you know, give you vitamins and nutrients that you need. And then you can have some of that as well. So what would you tell parents that are struggling with picky eaters? How would you advise them?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think that, I mean, it starts, if you can start early, that 100% makes a huge impact. We were talking, you know, before we started the podcast here, you know, luckily for me and what I do, this has been a part of their life from the time that they were born. Hmm. And I do realize, and I have conversations with clients all the time where their kids are, you know, they're older and, you know, it is more challenging the older that they are to start to change these habits. I mean, let's think about it for us too, right? Most of our clients that come to iCoach Nutrition are 40, 50, 60 years old. And I always tell them, I'm like, look, we are battling a lifetime of habits and beliefs and traits and skill sets. So this stuff is not going to just change overnight. Yeah. But regardless of the age, the thing that I would encourage most, especially for younger kids, you know, maybe these kids that are, you know, not yet in elementary school or even the kids that are in elementary school, it gets a little more challenging in a middle school and high school, but get them involved with the process, right? Involve them in cooking, right? I mean, even Jet right now is cooking dinner this morning just earlier here. And he is in the stage now of asking and wanting to help. And it could be the simplest things of like, hey, spray the olive oil or sprinkle the salt and pepper on there, but get them involved in the process of cooking. Another thing that has been a hit with so many parents that I've worked with is creating smoothies, right? Mm-hmm. And when you create the smoothies, have like a superhero name or call it whatever you want, right?
I love that.
And so like Josiah, he'll have like his Hulk Smash smoothie, right? And so he'll create his own smoothie and he'll name it whatever he wants to name it. But by getting them involved,
and then you get to put green stuff in it.
Exactly. There we go. So we're tricking them here.
It needs to be green.
but getting them involved in the process, it's not for everybody. I mean, the more picky the eater is, I mean, I understand it can be more challenging for some versus others. But the more involved that you can get them in the process of cooking, and not just cooking, but grocery shopping as well. I think as parents, and I'm guilty of this as well for sure, but we are always like go, go, go all the time, right? And sometimes our kids can be, you know, a little bit of like pushing our buttons and we're pushed for time, we're stressed, whatever. But if we can slow down and we can involve them in the process of grocery shopping and cooking, in meal prepping, in working out with them, right? Them seeing us work out.
Yeah.
That makes a huge impact on them because at the end of the day, like, you know, our kids want to be like us, you know, at least early on. Maybe we'll see what happens when they get older. But we are, you know, like I said earlier, we're one of their biggest influences in their life.
Absolutely.
And so if we can involve them in our lifestyle, well, hopefully that can put them in the best position possible to want to kind of start to embody some of these values that we have, right? And hopefully that will help them with living their life and prioritizing living a healthy lifestyle for sure.
Yeah, it's not easy for us to do as parents to take that critical lens on ourselves, but I feel like we've talked about that more than anything else within this series, talking about how important it is that you model what you expect from your kids, no matter what it is, whatever the topic has been so far in this series. It's always come back down to, what are you doing as a parent to model the behavior that you expect from your kids or that you want to see from your kids?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like, I mean, even the saying with like what I do, I mean, we've heard it so much. It's like, you know, if you're going to talk about it, or if you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. Right. And our kids are around us, you know, more than anyone else. And so like they, you know, especially as they get older and older, like they're going to be able to, you know, sift through the BS, if you will, right? They're gonna see what we do, and they're gonna, and even, I mean, I love, obviously, you know, with how much y'all prioritize faith, and I think that's a huge component too of this, is like, you know, we can't just like, you know, like go to church, for example, and not actually have a relationship with God, mm-hmm. right? Like our kids, as they get older and older, like they are going to be able to, you know, understand, is this real? Like, do my parents have a real relationship with God, or do they just take me to church every Sunday? Mm-hmm. Do they just check the boxes,
right?
And it's no different for this stuff and living a healthy lifestyle. So yeah, I think there's a lot of kind of, you know, really all of this kind of comes together in terms of like living my best life, working towards becoming the best version of me, reaching my God-given potential in life. Like, my body, right? This, mm-hmm. like me prioritizing living a healthy lifestyle, that I always like to present it as like this four leg table. And so there's four legs of the health table, if you will. There's a spiritual leg, there's a mental leg, an emotional leg, and a physical leg. And we have to prioritize all four legs of that table or the table falls.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, that's good.
I love that you bring in the spiritual aspect of that, because I talk about that with the men that I lead in the men's ministry at our church. And we've even had some conversations with the kids about this and understanding that your body is a gift from God and you're created in God's image. And if your body is the representation of the image of God, we need to honor that, right? And we honor that by taking care of our bodies and treating our bodies well, because our bodies are what God uses to fulfill his will for our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're not prioritizing like the physical side of your body, prioritizing your sleep and your nutrition, your exercise, hydration, stress management, well then it will kind of take away from you being able to prioritize your spiritual health.
Absolutely.
Yeah, everything affects everything, you know. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that it's not just about nutrition, right? Especially with kids. I can see like it's summertime. My kids have been going to bed a little bit later, and I can see the behavior on the next day. There's a lot more whining, there's a lot more fighting and complaining, and because they do need to sleep well. They do need to be in an environment with low stress and have us as parents to guide them to deal with their emotions, right? To learn about food, to learn about everything, because we are here. Like, it's a really big responsibility to be a parent, right? God entrusted us those amazing kids that we get to see grow, and we get to guide them in all those areas, not just the nutrition, to see them flourish and grow and become healthy adults in all areas of their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, I can, and yeah, I'm sure y'all can as well. I mean, if I don't get, and we've got a 7-month-old now, so there's...
Hey, real quick, because I forgot to do this in the beginning. Will you just say your kids' names and their ages?
Yeah. So we have three little boys, Josiah, Jet, and Jagger. So Josiah is 5 years old, Jet's 2, and then Jagger's 7 months old. Yeah. But yeah, Jagger, I mean, he, you know, obviously as a newborn, you know, with sleep and thank God for my wife, is I'm not even gonna pretend that I take the bulk of it. She, shout out to Alex there. She takes the bulk of it there. But I, you know, when we don't prioritize our sleep, right, even as adults, right, it absolutely affects, and we have all the science in the world to prove it, it affects that next day, right? It affects, like, we have more cravings because of it. You know, our mood is affected, our energy levels, our productivity. And so it really comes back to this, like, holistic approach of everything affects everything. And I would argue, honestly, that sleep is probably the most important habit of them all, because yeah, it affects that next day's workout. It affects your nutrition the next day, right? It's when it comes to living a healthy lifestyle, it's never just one thing. I mean, everything affects everything, and if we can realize that, then we can start to kind of focus on, again, those big rocks that matter most, rather than just being so hyper focused on just one of these things.
Yeah, that's why you got to think about the intentionality of the routine of your house, right? With the little kids, I think of my kids that go to school, right? When it's cool. When they're in school, it's so important for them to go to bed, to eat a very good dinner, right, and go to bed in the right time and sleep well. And the next day, wake up. We give them time to wake up properly. We just don't get them out of bed and run to school. That affects as well. And then feed them a good meal, because it is hard to go to school and then you feed your kid a bunch of sugar and expect to sit down and stay. Like, you wouldn't stay. Like, if you don't sleep well, I'm not a good person if I don't sleep well. I remember when my kids were little, it was really hard. And I really prioritize my sleep because I know how much it affects myself. So I'm very intentional with my kids as well, because I can easily see. And if I want them to be, you know, in a good state of mind and behavior at school or wherever they go, they need all those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love what you said there too. I mean, I talk with clients all the time about, hey, don't, like, you should not, and ideally, I mean, again, nobody's perfect with this, but you should not wake up to your kids, right? You should not wake up and be like going straight out the door to work. Yeah. Like, that's you waking up, or grab, the first thing you do is you grab your phone and you check the bad text message or the bad email, mm-hmm, right? Or write to social media. Like, what does that do? It's a heightened stress, mm-hmm, right, response right when you wake up. And so you're right into reactive mode, right? And if you're right into reactive mode, well, what does that mean? You're going to be more reactive throughout the day. So if you can kind of have a morning routine, right, both with us as parents, but also with our kids, mm-hmm, well, that's going to put them in a better position to set them up for a more successful day. Absolutely.
Yeah. I've learned a lot having the Whoop. Whoop is not a sponsor, but if you're listening to this and you work for Whoop and would like to sponsor us, let me know. But I've learned a lot through this, because it does, it tracks your sleep, but it also tracks stress throughout the day. And it's cool for me to look back through my day on the Whoop app, and like, I'll recognize these spikes in my stress level. I'm like, oh yeah, that meeting, right? And so exactly what you're talking about is things that we don't even recognize, because for a lot of people, it's become habit, right? Yeah. It's become habit to grab your phone first thing in the morning and go straight to social media, or go straight to your email, or go straight to your text messages, whatever it is. It's habit for a lot of people, but those are stress triggers, and people don't even recognize that they're triggering the stress response and stress hormones first thing in the morning by doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and this is a big part, you know, again, maybe more so for adults when it comes to tracking, but it's creating awareness, right? You can't change something that you're not aware of. And so awareness precedes change. And so using something like a Whoop band or an Oura ring, I have clients that will use those and they'll start to track this. And one of the biggest eye openers is around alcohol intake, because for a lot of people, they are like, I can have a drink or two or whatever. It doesn't affect my sleep. And then they start tracking that.
Yeah, wear a Whoop.
And they start realizing, I'll tell you real quick, it absolutely does affect your sleep, whether you think it or not. But this is where, you know, again, just, you talk about habits, right? Like, most people don't know how good they can feel until they actually start feeling that way. Mm. And this starts from a very early age, because if our kids are building bad habits when it comes to, you know, these bad lifestyle habits, these are lifestyle habits that they're going to have their whole entire life, right? And then they're going to have to now try to combat bad lifestyle habits that they formed over 18 years, like myself, right, when it came to nutrition, and then have to start to transform those over time. And thank God I fell into the field at 18 years old, because again, so many clients that we work with are 30, 40, 50, 60 years old before they start trying to make those lifestyle changes. And it's not their fault, especially in the fact that we are, you know, it's like every, there's a new diet every other week that comes out, right? Like people are just constantly bouncing around from diet to diet. Mm-hmm. They're trying so many different things and they're never actually consistent in anything.
It's not a lifestyle change.
It's not a lifestyle change. Yeah. Absolutely. And so that's really what we, you know, like people always ask, they're like, so is January like the busiest time for y'all? Like with new clients coming on? I'm like, no, not so much for us. It's more of like, you know, February, March, it's after they've tried those things and
the
kind
gym
of realized,
didn't work.
they've realized like, all right, you know, I've tried everything under the sun. Like I'm ready to actually transform my lifestyle.
Yeah. I like what you said, like transform my life. And, you know, it's never too late, right? You get older clients, and if you're a parent, right, and you your lifestyle, it's not the way you want, it's never too late. Justin is here to help you if you need help. But if you're looking at your children, your child, and their behavior is a big sign, right? The way that they act and react to things, it's going to be a big sign for you as a parent to see that some habits might not be proper for, it's not healthy for them, or the nutrition or the environment or the stress level, something around your kid, it's not what their needs. And you as a parent can then pay attention and be aware of what is changing and how can you best support them in whatever area of their lives that is. It could be diet, it could be sleeping, it could be stress. There's all kinds of different areas in their lives that will affect them. But behavior is a big sign.
Well, and you mentioned it before too, that a lot of people, like our bodies are interesting in the way that they just adapt and become comfortable with the new normal, right? We start feeding our body poison, basically, because that's a lot of what is in food these days, and especially with sugar and preservatives and all these processed foods that our bodies intake that cause inflammation and all these other issues. But our bodies just get used to that. They get used to feeling bad all the time, and it's not until you do some kind of a reset. We just started the Whole 30, so we're doing, you know, 30 days of eating nothing but whole foods and just kind of using that as a reset for us. But then at the end of it, we'll use it to kind of slowly reintroduce certain foods to test, you know, what do our bodies respond well to, what are they not? Because we want to be more intentional about our health, and we want our health to be about longevity. And not just, you know, looking good in front of the mirror, or, you know, those things are nice too, but, you know, we've got a longer term vision for our lives and for our health. So we're using it for different reasons, but it's one of the things that I've learned in reading the book and preparing for this is just understanding like how much better you feel when you're eating clean versus how we normally feel with a bunch of junk in our diet. And how our bodies just adapt over time to feeling bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, it's like maybe we'll hear this more from high school or college age kids. We're probably not gonna have our elementary school kids be like, man, mom and dad, since I started eating healthier, I feel so much better, right? But we can, as parents, we can notice that in how they act and how they behave. And really the greatest example here is there's a direct correlation with when you think about technology, right? Like we know that when we put screens in front of our kids, and again, like my kids have an iPad, they watch TV, I'm not saying they don't, right? Mm-hmm. But like we know that, hey, the more that they have screen time, typically the worse they act, right? Mm-hmm. And the same can be said about the food that they're eating as well. But again, our bodies have some of the best adaptation mechanisms to be able to, you know, adapt with whatever life is throwing at us. And so if you are just constantly eating unhealthy food, well, you know, you're not going to really notice a difference in your kids. And you're also not going to notice a difference in your kids if they start eating healthy for one meal or for one day or for one week. Like it takes time, right? But the reality of it is that we are a product of what we do the majority of the time. And so if we can focus on eating healthy and therefore our kids eating healthy the majority of the time, then we will see that positive impact in their behavior and how they act and then also in how they feel, how they look, how they perform, right? And then also, not to mention, this is a skill set, right? And this is the big thing that I talk with clients about all the time, is that this is a skill set that unless you develop on your own, or your parents help you to develop, you're not going to develop. And I would argue this is one of the most important skill sets that we could ever develop. Because it's, I mean, again, this is something that once you come into the realization of our health is our greatest asset, yeah, right? Now you start to make it more and more of a priority. Whereas most Americans, especially, this is at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to priority. And this is why, you know, as a nation, if you look at obesity rates, not just in adults, but you look at obesity rates in kids, it's the highest that it's ever been.
Yeah. And growing.
And growing.
Yeah. Well, I think I'll take it back to, you said there were five big rocks, right? I'm going to try to remember all of them. There's nutrition, sleep, hydration, stress, and exercise, right?
You got it. A+ coach.
Good job.
Oh, but I love that. So you laid those out because, like, when I think about, honestly, when we invited you onto the podcast, I thought, oh, we'll talk about food, because that's what most people think about when they think about nutrition and healthy lifestyle. But it's more than just the food, and being intentional about all of that with your kids. Like, I think about sleep. We're really consistent with our kids. Within like a 30-minute window every night, our kids are in bed at the same time. And I think that's really important. Developing those routines with your kids is really important. What time are they going to bed? What time are they waking up? Where are they sleeping? How are they sleeping? Like, these things matter. And being consistent and getting into a rhythm with those things is really important for kids, just like it is for us. But I look at, you know, not to like look down on anybody else, but I notice when other kids or other parents are allowing their kids to stay up till, you know, 10:30 at night. And my kids have been in bed since 7:30, 8 o'clock, you know? And you know, I think about those things because, like you say, that's one of the five big rocks. And you've got to be consistent about not just what you're feeding your kids, but what are you teaching them about sleep habits and hydration? And are you allowing your kids to drink a bunch of junk as well as eat a bunch of junk, right? Are they drinking soft drinks or, you know, high fructose corn syrup laced juices and, you know, that sort of thing? Or are you getting them good hydration with water and electrolytes and that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what you put into your body is what you get out of your body, right? That's the saying as it goes there. And so again, it's just like you're a product of what you do the majority of the time. But going back to the habit piece with the sleep, I always joke with clients as to like, hey, you know, growing up as a kid, most of us had a bedtime, right? But then all of a sudden we move out of our house and then we don't have a bedtime anymore. So now it's time to give yourself an adult bedtime again, yeah. Right? Because again, the average American gets 5 to 6 hours of sleep per night. And the current recommendation is 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night. So if you're chronically living in a sleep deficit, how do you think that's going to affect your next day?
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, I get the question all the time, like, hey, what's the best pre-workout? And I always joke with them. I'm like, there's actually this new pre-workout. It just came out. It is amazing. It's called Sleep. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. And, you know, it's always a laugh. But yeah, you know, like getting kids into a consistent circadian rhythm, right? And getting them into that consistent bedtime and consistent wake up time, it's no different than with adults. Like, that is extremely important. And when you look at individuals like, you know, people that work, you know, shift workers that work night shift, mm-hmm. right? Nurses, doctors, firefighters, police officers, whatever, and thank God for their service, but man, these are actually some of the individuals that are the most unhealthy, because they're constantly going back and forth between, you know, being up at night and being up during the day, and mm-hmm. going back and forth between those shifts, right? And so it throws off their circadian rhythm. So therefore it throws off their hormonal panel. And it makes a huge, huge negative impact on them. I always share the story, you know, with my wife, that when she first started as a nurse, and this is pretty common with nurses, that she worked night shift, mm-hmm. and she worked night shift for the first year. And over the course of the first year, she gained 30 pounds.
Wow.
And there really wasn't like, it's not like she just started eating super unhealthy or stopped working out or whatever. It was like, that was really the big habit change. And then thank God we got her out of working night shifts. And over the course of the next year, she lost the 30 pounds. But you know, when you really think about circadian rhythm, and you know, you could dive deep into the science behind it, but it absolutely plays a huge role in your overall health. And so when we think about our kids, yeah, it's the same thing for them. They need, kids actually need even more sleep than us because they're growing and they're developing. Right. They actually need like 9 to 10 hours of sleep per night. Right. So it's extremely important for us to be able to prioritize a consistent bedtime, a consistent wake up time, and really just consistent habits across the board with our kids. And in the summer, I mean, look, I get it. It, you know, things get more challenging and things like that. And, you know, if we want our kids to be kids, we don't want them to like always be so regimented and we want them to, you know, live their life and be a kid. Right. They only get to be a kid once. But the point of this is going back to it as like, we are a product of what we do the majority of the time. And this is why we have to chase consistency in what we do, not perfection.
That's right. Yeah.
I love that. And I didn't really grow up with bedtime routine. Like we would just fall asleep, watch TV and fall asleep in the living room, which is crazy. And we did very different with our kids. Right. And my family from Brazil. I remember Zoe was about 2 when Bia came to help us, and she had her routine, right? So when you train a kid, the kid knows, like, you don't need to tell them the time or anything. She would, like, grab her blanket and go walk to her crib because she knew that was her nap time. And I remember my sister telling me, like, this is crazy. Every day at the same time, she gets her stuff and, like, get my hand and take me for me to put her to sleep. I was like, yeah, we trained her to do this. And you can train yourself. And no matter what age you are, doesn't matter, James, the sleeping thing, he always said, oh, I can't sleep at night. What do you call people?
A night owl.
And I was like, no, you just tell your body, go to sleep and train yourself.
So I started waking up at 4 a.m. and then suddenly I could fall asleep at 9 p.m. no problem.
Yeah. Yeah, the earlier you wake up, the easier it is to go to bed at night, yeah. For sure. But again, going back to that adult bedtime, I'm like, look, you know, you've got to ask yourself the question, what's more important, getting good quality sleep and an adequate amount of sleep, or your favorite Netflix show the night before? Mm. And again, myself, I mean, we're all guilty of doing this every once in a while. But again, it's like, if we think about kind of this 80-20 lifestyle, right, if we really break that down, I always like to paint the picture of there's 365 days in a year, 80% is about 270 days, right? So 270 days out of 365 days, that's the 80-20 lifestyle. Hmm. And so if you think about it from that perspective, it's like, you definitely don't have to be perfect, because when it comes to consistency, those that try to be perfect, well, they end up falling off, and they start to put into their head kind of the belief that this is just too hard. Like I can't live a healthy lifestyle. Like, yeah. And we're so skewed in terms of what the definition of living a healthy lifestyle is. Mm-hmm. So, I think this is where, you know, again, the influence of our childhood comes into play, how we saw our parents live their life. I mean, we're absolutely affected by that. And we either, you know, end up following suit, or we, you know, we work to kind of transform that and maybe break some, you know, some generational curses in a sense,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, whether it be nutrition and fitness and what it means to healthy lifestyle, or, you know, and a number of other things. Right. But,
right.
I truly feel blessed to be able to get to do what I do, because I do recognize the fact that, hey, like, if this wasn't what I did, you know, if this wasn't what I did for a living, it absolutely would be even more challenging for me to be able to prioritize these things, because it wouldn't be something that I'm thinking about as much as I do. Mm-hmm. And so I try to be empathetic with that and really just try to meet people where they are in their journey, and remind them that, hey, you know, for 18 years of my life, I grew up on, you know, dollar menu McDonald's and Taco Bell and frozen dinners. And thank God I was so active and played so many sports and all of that. But I by no means ate healthy. In fact, the funniest story of them all is that I got a college football scholarship. My coach wanted me to put on about 15 pounds of muscle, right? And my idea of putting on 15 pounds and bulking up was I literally went to Taco Bell every single day that summer before college and ate 5 chicken burritos from Taco Bell every day. And I gained the 15 pounds and I showed up slow and out of shape. And my coach was, my recruiting coach was literally like, did you do anything this summer? Like, what in the world? So, and I could tell so many stories. I mean, I would go to these supplement shops and spend like $300 a month on supplements, thinking that they were going to just like transform me into some crazy athlete. So you just don't know what you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. Even when I first started personal training, I would eat like frozen lean cuisines for like every meal. And I thought that I was so healthy, right? So it's this evolution in that, you know, kind of coming back to what you said earlier, it's never too late. You can transform your life at any time. And ultimately you just have to be, you have to be open to it. Mm-hmm. You have to be ready to change. And the same goes for your kids as well. If you start transforming your lifestyle, your kids can start to follow suit as well. And I think, you know, as parents, that's the opportunity that we have, not just with living a healthy lifestyle when it comes to nutrition, but what it means to live a healthy lifestyle with all four legs of that health table.
Yeah, it's great. So I want to get back into some practical tips. So meal prep, do you meal prep at home?
Sometimes. I mean, to be honest, I don't really like meal prepping. I definitely don't like eating food that I cooked like 5 days ago. But with that said, I also have the luxury of working from home. So, you know, again, I realized like if I was somebody that had to go to work 5 days a week, well, now I would probably have to do more meal prep. Mm-hmm. But with that said, I would say one of the things that we do quite often is we'll make extra dinner and then I'll be able to just make that for lunch the next day. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably like the easiest form of meal prep
that I do too.
Yeah.
What about snacks for kids? Any thoughts or ideas on healthy snacks for kids?
Yeah, I think the easiest advice there when it comes to snacks for kids would be the more fruits and vegetables that you can get your kids to eat, the better. And again, we live in this world right now where people are just demonizing fruit. They're like, fruit has sugar in it. And I'm like, well, yes, fruit does have sugar in it, but the fruit that's in, or the sugar that's in fruit is not the same sugar that's in cookies, candy, donuts, ice cream, whatever.
Right.
And one thing that we started doing actually, and sometimes my wife is like, I don't know if this is a good idea. And I was like, I don't care if they waste it. It's worth it. And so what this is on our table, on our kitchen table, there are bowls and plates that constantly have tons of fruits on them. Mm. Like every single time we go to the grocery store, I buy tons of vegetables and fruits. And we will put bananas and oranges and apples and peaches and all of these things on the table. And so Josiah and Jet constantly, when they want a snack, that is the snack that they go for.
Yeah, that's
great. And in the pantry, there's chips and there's things like that as well, for sure. But I've noticed that and it's just like with adults as well, right? When it's out of sight, it's out of mind, mm-hmm. right? If you have a big bowl or plate of fruit right there and mm-hmm. you're walking by it every single day, right? It's in your sight all the time. And so as a byproduct of that, you're going to eat more. On the flip side of it, let's say after Halloween, you got a bowl of candy right there. What's going to happen then? You're going to eat candy more often, right? So I would say fruits and vegetables, the more fruits and vegetables you can get your kids to eat, the better. And also make it fun. Kids like to, especially these younger kids, they like to, you know, you can get these little like cookie cutters and you can cut out, you know, like shapes with vegetables and fruits. Mm-hmm. You can get them involved in the process with these like little, you know, kind of kid proof knives and whatnot and get mm-hmm. them cutting up fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. But fruits and vegetables, the simple answer would be fruits and vegetables. The more fruits and vegetables that we can eat, both as adults and as kids, the healthier we're going to be.
Yeah. We do the same thing with the fruit.
Around it. Yeah. And I love when I see Noah, he just grabs an apple.
He goes and washes it himself.
And start eating it. And he's like, misses. He doesn't have three teeth in the front. So he's like on the side eating the apple. But I think it's so great. Yes. Because that's how I grew up too, having all of that around and available. And I love the analogy that you did, like whatever you have in front of you, if the Halloween candy or the fruit, that's what you're gonna eat. And that's for me too. When I start getting out of eating healthy as much as I want, it's because I don't have those things available and I'm so busy, and then I just go in the pantry and whatever is there, usually chips, that's what I love, I will eat that. And then I catch myself and I start buying more of that and just having it available. And that's, I think it's a big key of eating healthy. is having the right options for you. Because when you're hungry, and those food taste amazing. When people tell me the like fresh food doesn't taste good, I was like, you just don't know how to cook, maybe. But yeah, you just got to eat more of it. Absolutely. You're just used to the sugar and the high, you know, the stuff that doesn't your brain in your body. But it's so delicious. And we were doing this Whole 30 with some friends, and they're like, how are you doing? I was like, I'm loving it. I just wish I had a chef cooking for me all the time. But this is the kind of food I love to eat because of the way that it makes me feel and how I feel it's impactful, because we take for granted being healthy. And every time I get sick or I have any pain in my body, and it makes everything so hard, I realize and I rethink of how grateful I am for being healthy and, you know, being able to move and nothing hurts. And, you know, I have, my parents are older, and I see now that they get older, that's more difficult. I don't want to have that kind of life. I want to be healthy, and I want to be able to move. I want to be able to enjoy life with my kids and do whatever I want. And when your body is not able, it's really hard.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love both of my grandparents to death, but I got to experience firsthand in that I had one grandpa who was a type 1 diabetic from a, you know, who was forced to prioritize living a healthy lifestyle. He had gardens in his backyard where they got all their, he got all their vegetables and fruits from. He had a woodworking shop in his backyard. And this is a man that's now 95 years old and still alive and kicking. And he always will like tell me, he's like, no, Justin, we got our organic fruits and vegetables. He's so funny. I love it. But then I, on the flip side, and again, I'm not talking bad about anybody here, but on the flip side, I saw the exact opposite with my other grandpa who, you know, unfortunately, I mean, he is alive, but with so many issues and is obese. There is a genetic component of this, but the lifestyle that we live plays a huge, huge, huge role.
Yeah.
And so I always tell people, look, if you want to age with dignity, if you don't want to be a burden on your kids, you better prioritize living a healthy lifestyle. Because if not, that will be exactly what you are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even coming back to one of your other, you know, points there in terms of like convenience, I hear that all the time. I'm so busy, I don't have time. Right. Well, something like having, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables, right? Or frozen fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, when you go to the store, buy both frozen and fresh vegetables and fruits, so that when you run out of the fresh, you've got the frozen. Or if the fresh goes bad, I don't know about y'all, but this happens all the time. I'm like, I buy strawberries and 12 seconds later, they're bad. I'm like, what is going on? So you've got the frozen, you know. And again, there's these people that like demonize frozen fruits and vegetables as if they're bad. It's like, guys, fruits and vegetables are not bad. And we have got to stop the conversation around fruits and vegetables being bad for you.
Yep.
If anything, you know, in the world,
well, they demonize sugar, right?
Right.
And then now it's all sugar is bad. Well, no, there's a distinct difference between processed sugar, like you said, that's in candy and cookies and cakes, versus the natural sugar that comes from fruit.
Yeah. And but you even have these guys like, you know, the carnivore crowd here that are demonizing vegetables and telling you not to eat vegetables. I'm like, look, if you are following somebody on social media that tells you not to eat fruits and vegetables, click the unfollow, please. You know, they're leading you astray.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything was created from God and it's just gross and you can just eat it. It's amazing. That's great.
Well, this has been a great conversation, Justin. Thank you so much for coming and spending some time with us. As we close out here, just any final resources you would recommend? And also, like, how can people get a hold of you if they want to work directly with you?
Yeah. So we're on every social media platform, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. We have a podcast called I Coach Nutrition Radio, Facebook, YouTube. So you can find us at iCoach Nutrition and all those platforms. Obviously our website, iCoachNutrition.com. If you go on the website, in fact, there are, and the podcast as well, there's hundreds of articles and free resources that are on there. Probably the best way to contact me directly though would be through email, Justin@iCoachNutrition.com. And yeah, more than happy to help anybody that has help or needs help or has questions. Ultimately, I think that, you know, again, people are more confused than ever when it comes to nutrition. And, you know, our goal and our mission is to help people to kind of filter out the BS in this industry and help them to get hyper-focused on what matters most and to really simplify, you know, what it means to live a healthy lifestyle. Because the number one struggle for everyone, myself included, is consistency. So why are we trying to complicate things, you know, when we really just need to simplify it? Because if you're struggling with consistency, you don't need more, you don't need more complicated. Right. You need more simple.
Yeah.
And, you know, going to school for 6 years, getting my nutrition degree, like I can talk about nutrition in a complicated way, but the reality of it is it's just over everyone's head. Right. Mm-hmm. And really what we need is just to simplify the process, get people consistent with the basics. And, you start doing that, now all of a sudden things aren't, you know, as hard and complicated as what so many people, you know, seem to think, and we can start moving the needle and start feeling better and looking better and performing better. So
that's awesome. Well, we'll link to your social medias, your website, your email address as well. We'll link all that in the show notes, but thanks again for being here with us. I hope everybody listening's got a lot out of this. Remember, the best gift that you can give to others is a healthy you. The best gift you can give to your kids is some good nutrition and education around that, and instilling the right disciplines, the right habits, the right routines. So, yeah, go out and live a healthy, nutritious life.
Yes. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
God bless.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, please review, like, subscribe, and share it with someone you think would benefit from it. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Legacy Minded Leadership on your preferred platform. You can also email us directly at legacymindedleadership@gmail.com. If you have any questions or if you're interested in learning more about individual coaching with me or Maria. Until next time, stay focused on your purpose and remember that God loves you and He has great plans for your life.